Today on Real Radio.
The announcement that he's making is obviously so connected to chapter 3 about Mount Sinai, about Moses going up to the mountain, about the revelation of God and Moses glowing in the dark, as it were, from his encounter with God, but that glory failing because the law fails. The law cannot save.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series which looks at a section in chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul writes of unbelievers who've been blinded to the light of the gospel by, as Paul puts it, the god of this world, of course referring to Satan. It provides for us some insight into one of the ways the devil operates. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called A Plan Right Out of Hell.
He says there, Paul speaking, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has veiled or blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The announcement that he's making is obviously so connected to chapter 3 about Mount Sinai, about Moses going up to the mountain, about the revelation of God and Moses glowing in the dark, as it were, from his encounter with God, but that glory failing because the law fails. The law cannot save. But Jesus, when he is beheld by your heart, by your life, it is a glory that waxes stronger and stronger. It doesn't wane. Your experience with Christ, with the grace of God, salvation of God, the one who fulfills the law, Jesus Christ, who never diminishes. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad? And that it's through him and him alone that you have eternal life. But Satan wants to counter that. Contrary to what you've heard from the lips of friends or your acquaintances, God is not someone who wants to send somebody to hell. We talked about that last time. Because what God is saying is that my son Jesus came to the cross to die there and to be resurrected from the grave, from that tomb, so that mankind would not have to go to hell. What keeps a man or a woman out of hell? Trusting in Christ. What sends a man or a woman into hell? Not trusting Christ. It's upon us. It's upon you to make that decision. God has done all that he's ever going to do. What more should he do? He sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. There's no other price to be paid. No other price could be paid. And then in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, there the Bible says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That is awesome. So church, last time in part one, we looked at this by way of review quickly in verses 3-4 regarding Satan's plan that is right out of hell. We saw in our first point, and that is to keep you in the dark, that you don't, look, number one, have God's light or revelation upon your soul. Satan wants to keep you ignorant about the fact that you are a living being that will last forever. Though you and I were not created eternal, we were brought into this world. Our beginnings were based upon time. But the fact is that you have been created in the image of God, and once a person is brought into this world, once a human is formed, the Bible clearly teaches that we will live forever. And the Bible's very clear, a forever in hell or a forever in heaven. And why is that true? Because we have a soul, and Satan wants to keep you in the dark about the fact that you have an eternal soul that God loves and that Satan hates. The second thing we saw is that Satan wants to keep you in the dark about reason. In verse 4, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Satan is referred to as little case g, the ruler or the God or the one who exercises domain over the globe. For what reason? To keep people from thinking. Listen, church, don't ever, ever swallow a movement that would keep you dumbed down. Whenever God is at work, enlightenment takes place by way of education and by way of knowledge. God is into that. He gave you a brain. He wants you to use it. By the way, isn't it tragic there are religions in the world that want to keep people dumb? Think about it. They don't want you to read. They don't want you to learn. Isn't that amazing? There are governments in the world that do not want you to learn how to read. Why? Because if you read, then you're going to find out that it's wrong to have a government or a religion that keeps you dumb. Because God has made you amazing. God has made you able to think. God has made you able to reason and to have logic. But Satan is against you thinking. That's why we are such, I don't mean you, that's why our world is such a big fan of amusement. To muse means to think. Amuse means to not think. Amusement park is where everybody gets together and they don't think about how much it costs them to get into the place to not think. We pay a lot of money to be amused. But God wants us to, in fact, muse. Why? Because if we think, it takes us to what we looked at last time, and that is Satan wants you in the dark about faith. He will mock faith. He will make light of faith. He will get you, listen, he will get you to do anything but have faith in God. And that's why we as humans fight this thing called worry, anxiety, to fret. We do these things instead of faith. Charles Spurgeon says that doubt is having faith in the devil. I like that. When you have faith in God, there's a peace that guards your heart and brings an unnatural peace into your life that nobody can explain. You can't take a pill to get it. You can't drink a drink to get it. It's what God brings to a heart that puts its rest or its faith in God. Here we are now this morning. Point number 2 to our study, a plan right out of hell is Satan's plan. And it is this. Look at this. Verses 4 to 5. It is to keep you from the light. To keep you from the light. First thing I want you to look at is the light which would illuminate you. The illuminating light of God. God is light, says the Bible. There's very few things in the Bible that God says he is. The Bible says God says he is holy. The Bible says God says is love. And the third thing is God says of himself he is light. Isn't that amazing? I love all those things. Now think about it. There's nothing more sweet than to have a life devoted or dedicated to God. God is holy, meaning that he is worthy of our absolute abandonment and devotion to him. And the fact that God is love. Don't you want to be loved? Nobody loves me, Pastor. Maybe true, but God does. God loves you. God is love. He doesn't have to turn to you and say, oh man, I need to really generate some love for that person. He doesn't do that. He is love. And then I don't know about you, have we forgotten God being light, how glorious and wonderful that is, that God is light? Darkness is a very, very tragic thing. Darkness is not a good thing. No, Satan's plan is to keep you from the light. There's a television program, I'm not too familiar with it. I saw half of it only once. There's a room that is absolute dark, total darkness, and they bring some poor unsuspecting dope into this room, and they got cameras, and it's a reality-type show, and they've got all kinds of stuff in this room. And I don't know if they tell the guy in advance or what, I really don't know, but they had this big aquarium, and they had snakes in the aquarium swimming around. They had something floating in there with a tarantula on it. They had a teddy bear immersed in it. They had a bowling ball or something like that, and the person cannot see, and they walk in the room, and they've got so many, I guess, minutes or seconds to get this stuff and bring it over to the other side of the room, and I'm watching this, and the guy goes in, and he's going, and he reaches into this aquarium, and there's snakes and stuff in there, man. And the first thing he grabs, and he's yelling and screaming, and he reaches in, and he's feeling this thing, and it's, and he grabs it, and he runs across the room, and he puts it in the box. It was a teddy bear. It was a wet teddy bear, and he's freaking out. So once he did that, watch, once he did that, he went back to the tank with a little bit more, I thought this was wrong of him, man. He went back with a little bit more comfort and boldness, and he reached in, and he grabs this snake, and he picks it up, and he's like, he walks with it, like it's no big deal. And he puts it in, and I'm the one now freaking out on the other side. What was going on? He was in total darkness. He freaked out over the thing that was cute and cuddly, but it felt odd because it was wet. And he wound up embracing the very thing that should freak you out. Darkness does that to us. A lack of light will do that to us. We will absolutely freak over what is good and what is okay for us. And then because we spend so much time in the dark, we begin to think after a while, I can even pick up a snake or a tarantula. What was this guy thinking? The point is he wasn't thinking, or if he was, he misunderstood what he was dealing with. Darkness does that to us. Listen, when Christ comes into our life, the light is lifted. Or the darkness is lifted, I should say, by the light. We begin to see things. We begin to discern things. We begin to understand things that we never understood before. Isn't that amazing? Think about that for a second. Light would illuminate, and Satan doesn't want that in your life. He says in verse 4, lest the light of the gospel of the glory, listen to all of the illumination in that verse, of Christ, who is the image, that word speaks of light, Jesus is the illuminating manifestation of God himself, should shine on them. There's a lot of light in that verse. That's powerful. But there's a strange power in the going forth of the word of God that has an effect that you can't put a meter on or test it. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Listen, light is like a key going into a lock. And if a lock could think, I bet you it's thinking, nobody can get past me. Nay, nobody going past me. I'm a lock. And it's there. And then here comes the key. Only one key fits that lock. And there's a key that fits your soul. And it's God's light. And when the gospel is presented, we'll talk more on this in a moment, but when the gospel goes out, think of it like a light. It's a key. It's an illuminated key. And it's going around to this sanctuary right now. And it's coming right up to your heart and your mind. And imagine if the key goes in and turns, light comes on. You ever think about that? God's word goes out. It's a light and a lamp. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words, listen, gives light, gives understanding to the simple. Isn't that good news? How did you do in school? Not so good. Doesn't matter now. Because if your heart is open and willing to receive the light, the key of the gospel truth, if you're willing to say, Lord, I want to know if you're real. I open up my life. Jesus, I believe in you. I open up my heart. I yield the lock to my soul. And you let the light of God's word in there. Listen, this excludes all human efforts. I like this. This is completely other than human manipulation, human effort, things of this world. If you are willing to say, Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you to come into my life, God's word will come in even during the course of this service, and we begin to unlock the soul, and light will begin to come on. And how do you know? There'll be an illumination of the way that you think, or how you think, what you think. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, concerning Jesus Christ, who is in fact the light, the glory of Christ to shine upon us, it says that he, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. You ever wonder what God is like? Then read the Gospels. Read the book of Revelation. The firstborn, or the one who presides over, is the meaning of that word, all creation. For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Isn't that awesome? Visible and invisible. How important is Jesus? He's everything. whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, that means angelic creations. He's made them. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. That means he is the governor of them all, the creator of them all. You could say he's the father of them all, and in him all things consist, are held together. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all the fullness should dwell. What is God like? Read the Gospels. What happens if somebody's caught in the act of adultery and they repent of that? They're sorry for that. Well, then read Jesus' encounter with the woman caught in the act of adultery. Isn't it awesome to think? What's God's mind on those that are hungry? To feed them. When someone is burned out and tired and disgusted with the sin of their life, the light is coming on. They realize, I need a Savior. I'm lost. I've been a liar, a cheat, a thief, a whatever. And all you have to do is fudge on your income tax to be a liar, a cheat, or a thief. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. And when we come to him, we say, Lord, forgive me. What does he do? He forgives. And he changes our lives. He's awesome. And just as the light begins to shine, think of it, in our own hearts as believers, we are the reflectors in this world of the love of God in our lives. We should be anyway. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, that is who God is, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's your Jesus. Is this your Savior? Is this your Redeemer? I hope he is. And last time I mentioned this verse, and I want to mention it again. It is Satan's plan to keep you not illuminated. It is God's plan to illuminate you to truth. And Satan's plan is to keep you comfortably sequestered in the dark and waiting. Waiting for your end, waiting for your death, waiting for your demise. He hates God so much that he wants your soul because God loves you so much. Matthew 6:22, Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. Boy, isn't that true? People, listen. Lives are being destroyed. Marriages are being destroyed. Children are being destroyed. People are being destroyed by this thing of pornography. And I might add these days, some form of literary pornography and these steamy love novels that so-called Christians are saying, I can read these lustful pornographic novels because they don't have pictures in them. Are you kidding me? We had a woman in church whose husband is disgusted because she's justified her reading these novels because they don't have pictures and doesn't call them pornography. Let me tell you something. Satan has tapped into something that is more powerful than what a camera can capture, and that is your imagination. It's worse. And it's ruining homes. It's like people are opening up the doors and the windows of their home and letting the darkness come in and destroy their families. Men and women of God, it's time to stand up, and we need to draw a circle around our home. We need to circle the battle wagons around our house. Amen. Darkness is encroaching. Darkness is coming. We turn on the TV, and it may be a big blue light, but it's very dark because it hits the eye. And kids today, you don't know this, kids today are duping their parents by using their iPods. Their iPods from Apple has no restriction on them, and they can get all kinds of things. You think it's just for music, and the kids can get anything on these things now, and they're extremely pornographic. And it comes in, and it's in forever. It's a serious business. The darkness is rampant in destroying homes. And Jesus said, listen, if your eye, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Isn't that true? Think about it. When darkness, as it were, shines upon your eye, you turn away. I was speaking a Friday night out in the Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage area, and driving out the 60 freeway. there is one of those pornographic billboards alongside the freeway. And it has this seductively dressed nurse. And it said underneath, whatever the address is, XYZ Avenue, blah, blah, blah. Underneath her it said, the cure for the common marriage. 60 freeway. If I was the mayor of that city, I would throw that sign in the trash. But think about it for a moment. Just open up, swing wide the eye, and let the darkness come on in. And we're paying the price, church. It's destructive. God wants you illuminated. He wants you walking in the light. You remember when your kids were little or when you were little, you loved the light. You went to bed even when you were little. I did. Did you go to bed with a flashlight when you were little? That was awesome. I still have one next to me within arm's reach, just in case it's a tough night. When we were young and simple, we knew, I don't want to look at that. That's scary. And we always stayed near the light. Kids by nature are afraid of the darkness. That's smart. The second thing in verse 5 is that Satan wants to keep you from the light because light would educate you. In verse 5 it says, for we do not preach ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord. Isn't that nice? Isn't that awesome? I love that. We're not supposed to preach ourselves. How do we preach ourselves anyway? It's ridiculous. Paul says, you know what? We want to rescue souls from hell? We want to go up against Satan in this battle for souls? Don't fiddle around with things that don't matter. Preach Jesus Christ. Present the Word of God. And look, I have to admit, let's be honest. Preaching the Word of God is really a silly thing to do. I mean, let's admit, it is silly. Look, in the 21st century, people will think, you know, you go to church? For what? Oh, Bible study. Bible study? Are you crazy? It's a strange thing. Preaching's a weird deal. Even you see somebody who's evangelizing someone, maybe down at the beach or here in the shopping center or wherever, and they begin to share Jesus Christ. It is a silly thing. But listen, you cannot deny its effectiveness, and it's timeless. No matter what happens with technology, preaching will never go away. Did you know that? Wherever you have a person that is lost and a person that is saved, and the person who is saved loves the person that's lost, they're going to reach that person. Yes, there's other avenues by which we capitalize on to be more effective. There is the media, there is radio, there is internet, there is television to get the Word of God out. Hallelujah for that. But it's only an extension of this thing called preaching. To preach Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called A Plan Right Out of Hell, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6. A Plan Right Out of Hell is actually a series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, you may remember the Engage conference, which we held last summer. We got a lot of calls from a lot of believers regarding how to deal with the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision on so-called same-sex marriage, as well as some other issues. So, we held the Engage conference. We've since also got a lot of inquiries from a lot of folks who are unable to attend that conference but wanted to hear the audio. Well, here's some good news. You can purchase the audio of the entire conference on a USB drive. Ah, technology today. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.